Everyone, both to the people here and the people that are not here that can hear me. And what did I write here? Last week we looked at a passage from Ezekiel, but before I read it, very smart thing to do, I'm going to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this time where we come into your presence. We come before you not because we deserve to be here or have earned the right to be here. We come in front of you because you had grace on us and mercy, and you've given us this privilege. And you promised to always be there to hear what we have to say and to help us through the difficult times. And yes, they come up a lot more often than we'd like them to. But we thank you for being who you are. And we ask that you guide and direct our steps. Help us as we go through life. And eventually you'll bring us to glory, to something that we'll never have down here. So be with us as we muddle through this, look at different things, and examine your word. Help me to be true to what you have told Ezekiel so many years ago. But be with all of us tonight, Father. Help us to understand this passage, and what we don't understand, help us to dig further to get a deeper knowledge. And we ask your blessing on this time, and we ask this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So last week I spoke on Ezekiel 37. And in case you have short memories, I'm going to read it again. And of course, this is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So last week I started on this passage, and I attempted to use it as a parallel to the Halloween that's coming up. I learned a very good lesson. Don't do it. The Bible wasn't written to coincide with celebrations that man observes. The Bible was written, along with other things, to show God's plan for salvation for each one of us. So it starts with a valley full of old bones, and I attempted to do a Halloween message based on that. Instead, God's word overrode my attempts for Wednesday evening talk and enlightened me to the part which God allows us to do for the salvation of individuals. The people we come in contact may be only the recipients of physical birth, which is represented by bones. For when the physical life is over, the bones are what remained for a time. However, once God provides spiritual birth, even after the physical life is over, the spiritual life remains in order for us to worship God. To those who have not received spiritual life, the soul remains and will forever be separated from God. God uses any saved individual to reach unsaved people with his word. Salvation and a new birth, or the birth from above, comes only from God. In the passage I read from Ezekiel, the bones were given spiritual life by the Holy Spirit, but God's message was imparted to them through Ezekiel. Probably none of us will find ourselves in the valley of bones as described in Ezekiel, but every one of us will encounter lost souls. So what do we do to make us acceptable bearers of God's word? Before we hit these points, just remember the only reason that we have a new birth is because of the working of the Holy Spirit. He has brought salvation to us, and we will live forever. So what should we do while we are waiting for forever? The answer, of course, is to do the work which we have been told to do. But we must be very careful to be the sons that God has intended us to be. We must be people that the Spirit of God can use. We must be anxious to use his words and to keep the truth of his words in all of our work for Christ. And since we would be lost sheep without the Holy Spirit, we must avoid anything that is not of heaven while we are working for him. We want the spiritually dead people raised, and we cannot do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that. God graciously has given us work to do, and in his use for us, we must be careful there is nothing that would grieve the Spirit. If we have shortcomings in our lifestyle or approaches to unsaved people, he might withdraw his power from his church or any individual. We must be very sensitive in what we say to others, for our work is blessed employment not to be taken lightly. Each one of us must have the Spirit of God. We can do nothing without him. Therefore, do nothing that would cause him to depart from us. We must be ever ready to obey the gentlest urging from the Holy Spirit. He whispers instructions to each one of us. The world may ridicule this truth, so therefore we speak rarely of it. But each one of us knows that at various times the Spirit will lead us in a certain direction. We respond to these suggestions and we treat them as commands. However, if you do not have the voice of the Holy Spirit in your ear, pray for God to supply it. When you are in that valley of dry bones, which we call society, the Spirit of God will provide what is necessary that he will give life. Skip the line. Okay. Since we have no power except from the Spirit, we must value greatly every moment of his power. In the account of his Ezekiel of the valley, he draws attention to the shaking and the noises and the coming of the flesh, even though it was before any signs of life. If we want the Spirit of God to bless us, we must be alert to notice everything he does. You cannot expect the Spirit of God to come and work alongside of us if you are half asleep. The Spirit of God does not work by sleepy men. He loves to have us alive, and he will make others alive by us. We learn from the actions of Ezekiel that we are to act with the certainty of the presence of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit to bless us, we must, in the power of the Spirit, realize the importance of our words and actions toward the salvation of others. If you come to the place where there are people who need salvation, one person or one group, the Spirit is with you. We must have compassion and sympathy on unsaved souls. Just like Ezekiel said, "Behold, there were very many bones in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Like Ezekiel, we must speak in the power of faith. If Ezekiel did not have faith, he would not have preached to dry bones. They are poor listeners. He would have not preached to the wind, because who can see the wind? You may think Ezekiel a fool to behave such. Preaching is a supernatural exercise and is certainly not a useless procedure. We must prophesy according to God's command. By this, I don't mean foretelling future events, but simply offer the message which we have received, proclaiming it so others may hear it. God will bless this prophecy and not any other, so we must stay away from what is not in God's word and speak the truth that he has given us. Make sure the word goes from our mouth, which has been received from God. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, goes with the word of God, and that alone. If we would have more of the power of the Spirit of God with us, we must see only the divine purpose, the divine power, and the divine working. As God said, "When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then ye shall know that the Lord has spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You do not have a plan. God does. This plan is his own. The Holy Spirit does not carry it out because I desire it. It is carried out for the purposes of the eternal Jehovah. Not my power, my experience, or my thoughts could bring people from death to life. Holy Spirit will do it, and only he. At all times, we should speak hopefully to those who hear us. We have an absolute need of life of the Spirit of God. Not just the people we attend church with, but anyone we come in contact with needs this life. Each one of us needs to be born again. And a new birth is not something in your own power. Religion will not save you. Ceremonies and religious observances provide no hope. We cannot delete the truth. No individual has this power, only the Holy Spirit. Each one of us can feel this power. Take note with what the Holy Spirit has done for others. You know, each one of you know the people that were lost, but now they are saved. You know they are, for we have seen their lives. If the Holy Spirit can work in one, he can work in another. Don't just look at others. Observe carefully at what the Holy Spirit has done within yourself. No, you are not perfect, but you are changed. You are not what you used to be. You now have spiritual life. The Holy Ghost has begun in each one of us, and he does not leave off until his work is finished. Faith in Jesus is an assignment of this new life. If you have trusted to Christ and believe in him and his power to save you, you have eternal life already. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life. You have passed from death to life already. You cannot see the Spirit just as you cannot see the wind. But if you have faith, you will turn in the direction that the Spirit of God leads you. Those who believe in him, they are not condemned. Therefore, be of good cheer. In this life, do not let difficulties or problems lead you aside. Every day presents many difficulties. The power of the Holy Spirit is not justified by my logic. It is only justified by the power of God's word. If it is in God's word, it is enough for me. There are difficulties everywhere. We cannot understand how the material affects the spiritual. That is the difficulty. If you end up in hell, obviously you will still not be happy, and definitely your difficult situations will not be solved. Each one of us should put off all the worries that we are not good enough to go to heaven. There will be time enough to settle them when we are there. Meanwhile, since life comes through Jesus Christ, let us have it and be done with our doubting. Each one of us should long for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. We should pray for it, both that it constantly fills us and spreads to the people that we come in contact with. Be willing to have the Holy Spirit within you on his terms. Not only does he come to you when you least expect it, but he moves you in directions which you cannot anticipate. Each one of us has the power to shut the Holy Spirit out. However, just like the bones of the valley in Ezekiel's vision. We should hope that all are made to live. Pray that the Spirit of God would touch every one of us. Many of you are alive to already. Bless his name. Each one of us can have more life. Christ came that you might not only have life, but that you would have it more abundantly. Allow the Blessed Spirit to enter and provide a greater fullness. Pray that every soul that is dead may feel the sacred breath and begin to live. Pray that this divine spirit will come and lead each one to Jesus, to be saved now and to be saved forever. God has the power to grant it. That's it. So for the people online, we will be breaking away shortly, and we will be in prayer. You can do that at home. God's listening for you, listening for each one of us, and he's waiting to hear from each one of us. So if you have any thoughts about what to pray for, well, whatever's on your mind. It's nothing too little or too big for God. You can pray for this country and its leadership. You can pray for this church or any church. Pray for missionaries. Not just the missionaries we support, but anybody out there prophesying, just like he told Ezekiel to do. And pray that their efforts will lead to salvation of lives. Pray for our young adults. They may be away from the church, but they're not out of our mind. Pray for our service people. They keep us and keep us safe and keep our way of life safe. And pray for the health needs. Those that are hurting, those that are aching, those that have medical problems. God wants to hear from you about them. And pray for our young children, our teens. I hear some of them in the other room. They are our future, and they will grow into it with the help of the Spirit. So thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. And I hope that God is in each one of your hearts, guiding and directing you. If he is, I know every one of you is safe. But thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for being here tonight. And that's it for this last Wednesday of October. There'll be a new message in November about good and bad. And you're in it. We're all in it. Thank you.